Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
It's now time for an episode of the Football History Rewind, where we go football year by year, and today we look at Amos Alonzo Stagg, as he contributed so much to the game of football, but none of his earliest concept is so greatly overlooked, and we're going to go over it in detail today in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history and to the Sports History Network. And geez, are we having a great time going through football year by year. I hope you're catching some of these great football history rewinds that we're covering here today. And this whole month, we've been really going through a lot of really some great research in the late 19th century. And today's no exception. In part 18 of this series, football was in the late 1890s. It was a fairly stable period for the fledgling sport, relatively speaking, that is. It was only a few years prior that the sport most met what could have been its demise, as the collegiate game was split into faction over the rules. Our last discussion, we saw how the powers of football came together and arbitrated a compromise, saving the game from uncertain peril. These next few years would be ones that the game could once again experience growth and innovations, as well as the football minds could focus on the strategy rather than the turmoil of football politics. But first of all, the ball takes shape. It was time that the ball started to change shape as well for the first time. The round ball of rugby was falling out of favor with American sports, and a ball that was shaped best described as a prolated spheroid took its place. The newly shaped ball had no fixed measurements, though, at this point in time. The circumference was only a few inches shorter than the distance around its ends, and this design was to enhance the kicking part of the game. The reader should remember, the forward pass was some years off into the future, not around yet, so being able to place one hand on the ball to throw was not a consideration by the ball's designers of these late 1890s. Well, there was a football adage that once said something to the effect that all great things in football are attributed to Yale. And when you think about it in respect to the early game, that statement really holds a lot of water. Names like Walter Camp, Pudge Heffelfinger, George Woodruff. Hey, and did I mention Amos Alonzo Stagg? Yeah, this is the same Amos Alonzo Stagg that played for Walter Camp's undefeated Yale team of 1888. He might be better remembered for his coaching career, though, as he coached the college teams almost every year from 1892 until 1959, when at the age of 98, he retired only due to the illness of his wife. Stagg is not only remembered for his longevity to the game, but his great innovation. Coach Stagg came up with a couple of staples of football during this 1898 season during his first coaching post at the University of Chicago, where he held the position for 41 years. Chicago was hosting the University of Michigan for the last game of the season on Thanksgiving Day in a rare indoor game at the Chicago Coliseum. Stagg knew that being indoors, the crowd noise would play a big factor in the communication of his team. Signals for plays calling were only recited at the line of scrimmage in those days by the quarterback. There wasn't a huddle at that point. Stagg had earlier experiences playing indoors in 1890 and 1891 in New York's Madison Square Garden, and the great coach Stagg instructed the Chicago squad before the 1898 game to huddle up before each offensive play so as to get the signals. This is the first known time that a huddle was used for play calling. It would be many more years before it was accepted practice, though, for teams playing outside games as crowds became large enough in the open air to disrupt offensive communications. Another great Stag innovation was the onside kick. That rule that the ball must travel at least 10 yards during a kickoff before the kicking team could recover was very recently included in the rule books in the early 1890s at that time. Stag instructed his kicker to lay the ball on its side rather than to be held by a teammate with the point touching the ground. This would make the ball travel less distance at an unpredictable pattern, giving the kicking team ample chance of recovery. Stag was a creator of another kicking innovation too at this time, as he employed the first direct snap to the punter from center during a game in 1896. Stag's punter at the time, Clarence Hershberger, also came up with something new as he launched punts and put the ball in a spiral-like pattern that often gave his kicks outstanding distance over the other punting styles of the time. Author Jennifer Taylor Hall, in her book Amos Alonzo Stag, College Football's Man of Motion, has some great insight on A.A. Stag and his accomplishments in football. You can refer to our December 25th and December 29th football history headline posts to get links to purchase this great account on Stag's life, and you can check out her interview on our friend show and fellow Sports History Network partner Arnie Chapman's Football History Dude podcast, episode 149. But before we go, let's talk about what happened with the Rules Committee. The football, they convened on March 7th of 1898 and developed some interesting changes in the rules of the sport. One of note was to put a little bit of bite into an official's call for the players who had a bit tad aggressive, let's say. A new rule that stated 15-yard penalty could be imposed against a team who had a player that piles on after the referee signaled the ball was dead. And that was applauded by most players and coaches. It was a great deterrent in preventing the dangerous situation. 15 yards would also be the penalty enforcement for a player throwing down or hitting someone who caught and heeled a fair catch. The offended team also could employ a free kick after such a violation and walk off the yardage or start a play from scrimmage. In conjunction of the above, a penalty of 10 yards will be imposed on the acts of offsides, holding, unfair use of hands and arms, and tripping. Likewise, delay a game's fouls would award 5 yards to the opposition of the offended team. The next meeting of the Rules Committee was on March 17, 1899, and a couple more items helped to shape the game while heading into the 20th century. The first was that a ball that struck an official would no longer become dead. Instead, play was to continue as it had never touched him, and there started the concept of an official being a part of the playing field was begun at that point. Football was taking shape in the 1800s as they ended, and a lot more to change was to come in the new century. So please look back soon for our next segment on our continuing story of football. Now, we took so much of this information today from Park H. Davis and his 1911 book, Football, the American Game. And also, as we said, Jennifer Taylor Hall and her book on Amos Alonzo Stag, Man in Motion. Make sure you take a look at those books. You look at the bottom of our article here today, our blog post on Pigskin Dispatch, and you can find the links on Amazon where you can get Jennifer Taylor's great book. So till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.